Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jay Lethal, the undisputed champion of the wrestling world.
This is John Sullivan.
It's Babs Ayegbusi.
Michael Thompson talking. It's the phenomenal AJ Styles.
Xavier Rose.
Charles Johnson.
Psycho Killer Tommaso Ciampa.
This is Matt Blair. Thank you for listening to Sportscast Radio.
Sportscast Radio.
Welcome to Sportscast Radio.
I am feeling very Olympic today. How about you?
Not the intro I expected with that button. Welcome to Sportscast Radio. Ryan, how you doing tonight, buddy?
I am peachy keen. Peachy keen. Hey, I don't think it's a bad thing. It's we're on the home stretch here. Sports.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what the show is, Sportscast Radio. And I can clearly see that at the end of the day, there is light at the end of that tunnel.
Man,
this is a fantastic opening.
I thought so. I liked it. I like the cool running.
Damn, what are you eating over there?
I'm actually walking on eggshells as we speak.
Just smashing.
Big ball of smashing.
Big by hits.
Getting big killer, getting high. Where do you want to start tonight, Ryan? I think we got a little NHL love, a little NBA love. NFL's kind of made a pretty good solid proclamation in regards to their opening day plan, so I don't really want to go too deep in that. Maybe touch on maybe a little Browns update or news as far as that team goes, if you'd like. Maybe a little Tom Brady love also. What do you want to do here? You want me to spin the wheel or what?
All right, whatever you want to do. I mean, I don't think NFL is worth really talking about this early, but I think the positive thing, what keeps them moving so much easier, is they're 3.5 months out still. So, I mean, they got time on their side.
Yeah.
I don't blame them for not quitting.
Yeah, you're absolutely right there. Let's go to your bread and butter. All right, your biscuits, if you will, your Thin Mints, your...
Ooh.
You know, a little tape to tape action there. How about a little hockey for you?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, they had a nice press conference yesterday at roughly 5-ish here, and Bettman kind of outlined the playoff situation by calling an end to the regular season essentially immediately. What do you think of the shell that he's laid out? Obviously, locations to be determined, and I think you may have a little update on the times as far as that goes. What do you feel about this current situation?
I think it's time to just get going. If all these people want to restart it, all the players, all the owners, things like that. At this point, we've been living in a strange world for the last 10 weeks here. March 12th pretty much was kind of the go to with everything shutting down. Ironically, Target is the day that Target changed all their hours on my birthday to change everything. We've been 8 to 10 weeks in with all this. At this point, everybody I think is starting to, in the nicest way possible, I'm saying it's becoming a normality, and people are realizing we just got to start going. And I think with that being said, with everybody wanting to start their new seasons right around the normal start time, you're running out of daylight here. So I think it's time to get moving here, and that's what NHL is doing. NHL moves to 2014 conference-based postseason, 29-2 vote. But the Carolina Hurricanes and the Tampa Bay Lightning were the only two that voted against the 2014-based thing, which I don't know why Tampa would have. That blows my mind because they have a team good enough where they can beat anybody. If they could get some weaker teams, then I would think they would enjoy that. But That's beside the point. Chicago, Columbus, Dallas, Edmonton, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, Pittsburgh, Toronto, and Vancouver are being considered to be the hubs. One would be west and one would be east. So they got four phases that are looking to do. First phase is a draw on June 26th. This is for the draft. This is kind of interesting too, Jordan. I don't know if you saw this, but there will be three separate draws to determine which teams are in the first, second, and third overall picks. Taking part in the draw, the seven teams that didn't make the qualifying round, Detroit, Ottawa, San Jose, which Ottawa owns their pick as well. So Ottawa has tentatively the second and third best odds to get Alexis Lafreniere with that number one pick. So, I mean, wow. if Detroit, who had the worst season I've seen in the history of my life in hockey, maybe not counting the 91 Sharks in their first year, which was, I think they won 9 games, but I mean, this Detroit team was butt cheeks awful. I almost hope they don't get the number one pick, but Los Angeles, Anaheim, New Jersey, and Buffalo, and then 8 placeholder spots for teams that are in the qualification round. So teams that get eliminated from the 4 play-in series will then, those 8 teams will fill the last 8 spots on this. If any draws won by
how
one of the non-resuming.
How did that play out? Do they just order them by record or points after they get eliminated from that section, or are they going to.
So they all will have the same odds, I believe.
Okay, so what those 8 teams, they'll – okay.
Yeah, if any draw is won by one of the non-resuming teams, which means that they win the draw for the number one pick, that team gets the selection. If all 3 top picks go to those non-resuming teams, so if those 8 teams all slide ahead of the 7, there wouldn't be a second draw. However, if any of the placeholder spots wins a top 3 pick, there will be a second lottery after the qualification round to determine which eliminated team gets that draft pick. After the top 3 picks are determined, all remaining picks will be slotted through points percentage. So if one of those teams doesn't get pick 1, 2, or 3 and a placeholder spot does, then they will do a lottery between the 8 placeholder teams and that team will get it. So, meanwhile, NHL is getting players back to training facilities. On Monday, the NHL released what they're calling Phase 2 of its return to play. Basically, restrictions on small groups of players and staff that will be returning to use the practice facilities. Phase 1 involves self-quarantining, kind of like I had mentioned to you when we were talking earlier. Yeah. Phase 2 is expected early June. This would allow for 6 players to train at once together. On-ice sessions are going to be for only players. There's no coaches, no team personnel, blah, 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 blah with it. Media and agents barred from entering facility. Face coverings at all times except when they are exercising or on the ice. Any player who participates in Phase 2 cannot work out or skate at a public facility and cannot organize group skates outside of the training as well. During that second phase, players and staff will be tested for the coronavirus 2 days before they're scheduled to participate. They will be tested twice per week afterward, though players are told to self-administer temperature symptom checks daily and will have their temperature checked before entering facilities. Then players who test positive for COVID-19 will not be allowed to return to the training until it is deemed safe. Teams were encouraged to follow CDC guidelines on the discontinuation of isolation following positive COVID-19 tests in symptomatic and asymptomatic patients, which then one of the next major steps for the NHL in return is training just to get players back in their home team communities. An estimated 17% of the NHL players are currently outside of North America. Phase 2 of the league's return to play plan requires 14-day self-quarantine period before a player can participate in training if he travels via public transportation, such as on a commercial flight. Then phase 3, the plan is to open training camps no earlier than the first half of July. And then phase 4 would be the completion of the season in the 2 hub cities. So it sounds like end of July, beginning of August is when we would get the puck to drop. I've also heard if a player tests positive, they cannot come back until they have tested negative on 2 consecutive tests. So they'll be tested twice. They have to pass 2 tests. And the NBA is taking that same policy, and I believe the MLB is as well. So they're doubling up to make sure if you pass one, great, but we want to make sure it's not a faulty one. You got to do it again.
Makes sense completely. Now, here's one thing that mildly, before we get into, like, I guess maybe some of the odds or opportunities for the teams that made the playoff here. What happens to the start of next season if they're playing hockey in August?
Yeah, that's the kicker I'm looking at is if the season starts in August, they're running an initial, almost a first round of a first round before they do these other rounds. I don't think you're starting in October. I think realistically we're looking at a December start, which then you would end your season roughly July in 2021, maybe the first week of August, which then if players are fine with the short off season, they could get back on track in October, or they could start November of 2021 and just, you know, have less days off to get back onto the normal schedule. So, I mean, I think we're going to see next season is going to be in a weird condensed way that'll trickle into the following. So, I mean, I think this is going to affect the next 2 years, getting back to an actual normal start time for these leagues. And who knows? I mean, we really don't know what's going to happen, how this comes out. Ultimately, when it's all said and done, you know, optimistically, which I'm not very optimistic on this aspect of it, but, you know, we could wake up tomorrow and somebody found made a vaccine finally. Okay, then everybody's going to be like, great, now we can go.
Yeah.
So you never know. But even with that, all these players, like everybody's talking about wanting to come back. I mean, the conference call, I was just reading about this tonight after we talked. NBA ran a conference call that players like LeBron, Curry, Giannis, Chris Paul, and Kevin Durant was on this call, expressed the desire to resume the season. So it sounds like in all these sports, people are kind of getting up ready to rock and roll, but they're all talking about we need that 4-week training camp at least, or at least, you know, a couple with some kind of warm-ups because we got to get our bodies back into it, which I understand. I don't discredit that at all. So, I mean, long story, I don't think that can really speed things up then anyway, but I mean, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it should be interesting. Something to get you kind of hype is one of the questions that I saw asked would be, what about the 2021 NHL season potentially starting with the Winter Classic? How excited would you be to see kickoff?
That would be awesome.
Kickoff with outdoor hockey.
Yeah, I had heard, well, because we're, I mean, that's us. We're the Winter Classic next year.
Maybe we'll be, how cool would it, now we're going to start getting into odds and the hyperbole is going to get thick real fast for you right now. Hey, how cool would it be to have a Stanley Cup ceremony, on Minnesota, a championship ring ceremony on Minnesota outdoor ice, bro?
Oh, that would be so incredible. Hey, you never know. Here's something that we got to look at is the Wild were one of the hotter teams before the season ended. We're coming in here and fresh legged.
Everyone's coming fresh legged, man. That's the question.
But that's my point is some teams are going to not succeed with these fresh legs. Some teams are. If we can capitalize on it and we don't have the rust that some teams are going to have, you never know who's going to make a run, because the one thing I always say about hockey, why it's so good right now, is you can argue that almost every team can be competitive to a T.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it should be really interesting. Again, this is, you know, for these playoffs and I mean, for all three current sports, or we're going to call them active sports. I'm going to include baseball in that. If, you know, these shortened seasons, they're going to be turning into sprints, man. I think it's going to be a pace that we're not normally used to seeing, especially jumping into, you know, 2+ months off at this point. It'll be interesting to see, because I think that's also, then you don't know, like, how do you gauge or how do you prep? Do you go based on how the team was playing, you know, mid towards end season when this all occurred? Or do you look at, you know, the first 10 games back, you know what I mean? Like, you know, is that going to be the telltale sign of your team? Are they a slow starter? Are they, you know, because if I recall, Tampa had a terrible start.
Yeah.
You know, when it came to the start of the season, but now obviously they're two in the Atlantic when this all ended. So what, how do you feel about those aspects? What are you looking at, or what are you expecting? Do you think it's going to be a anything goes kind of thing, or do you think some of those trends will stay the same?
I'm slightly nervous for a team like Tampa, who, you know, those last like 30 games they were like 27-3 or whatever, because now they've had a chance to to unwind and the cooling off could hurt. I think a lot of these teams that have some veterans on their team are going to benefit, and that's what I think helps the Wild. Is yes, we have a lot of young guys, but I mean the Parises, the Suitors, the Stalls, Dubnyk. These guys are probably benefiting from having this extra rest.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at one thing that the Wild usually do, and this is what always kills us, is we always come out of the gate hot, and then we cool off and go into the playoffs and get smoked because we're hot at the wrong time. Well, this is a restart, and we're playing our old rival in the first round. We're playing Vancouver, and there's no love lost there. I still, you know, deep down, Wild Canucks is a rivalry, in my opinion. I mean, that was, you know, those were some rough years for a long time against those guys. Todd Bertuzzi is still a swear word out of my mouth.
Yeah.
So
it's funny that you say that because the Wild and Vancouver had a nice Twitter exchange after the announcement there with Vancouver scoring first, so to speak, and showing a picture of one getting past a Wild goalie. But we quickly retaliated as far as that goes. So I do in Minnesota form, I think the caption was "Oh," you know. So we definitely you know, did a little something there. But
these are going to be fun. I mean, if you look at, so the top four teams in East Conference ranked by points percentage, Boston, Tampa, Washington, Philly, then St. Louis, Colorado, Vegas, and Dallas in the West will play separate round robin tournaments to determine seeding in the first round, which they'll be played with regular season overtime and shootout rules. The teams will be accumulating points within that round robin. If there's any ties, they will be broken by which team had a higher regular season points percentage. As example, if Boston and Tampa both go 2-1 in the round robin, Boston would earn the top seed based on points. So I like that you get to seed it. Remaining six team will do a best of five. Then we play with playoff overtime rules, which is the way I think it should go. And that's who will make it to the Stanley Cup. Listen to these fun matchups, at least in the West. And we can get to the East after, but Edmonton, Chicago, that should be really fun. Nashville, Arizona, two of the, like, Nashville's becoming one of the biggest markets, and, you know, and even just, you know, in per capita and population wise too, but their hockey team is one of the most popular teams in the NHL, and Arizona finally is starting to win some games, so they're chomping at the bone to get back in. We obviously mentioned Vancouver, Minnesota, and a nice north battle between Calgary and Winnipeg. Like, those are some really good series.
Yeah, those are really good on the West. I absolutely. It still kind of blows my mind though. Like, thinking about, again, you know, you're looking at how they're doing this to do the play-ins and such, but the Blackhawks are potentially a playoff team and they were last in the division. You know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of crazy. Like, but also, you know, what 10, not 10 points. You know, it was very, obviously very close as far as these point structures go. And, you know, the Kings and Ducks only had, what, 60 something points a pop, but like, it's really, it should be a very fun, and like you said, sprint. And with these, with the luck of it, to see who really comes out on top in this weird playoff system that we're going to have for the NHL. What do you think about the East matchups?
East has got some fun stuff. And you know, once, you know, you mentioned Chicago too, real quick, to be fair, they're only like 6 points out of a playoff spot too. Like, that Central Division is just so good that, you know, you're running into all these teams that could potentially make a playoff spot. East on the other end, I think should be pretty fun. You have, you know, once again, we have the top four: Boston, Tampa, we have Pittsburgh, Philly and Washington. But the Penguins, Montreal, that should be I'm guessing that's going to be a sweep. Montreal is not a good team. They're in just by casualty. They're one of the ones that I kind of don't look at as a, you know, I guess you have to have somebody in, but I mean, you know, that team's didn't even get to 60 points, 30 and 39. They're not 31 and 40 at 71 points. They're not going to make, I think, any issue. Carolina, New York could be interesting because Carolina's been hot and the Rangers are always have an opportunity to do something good. But, you know, it's just the Rangers aspect. Islanders, Florida probably is the least popular series I could imagine for a playoffs, especially as somebody who doesn't like the Panthers. and the Islanders lose their money guy in Tavares and just have a bunch of good role players, so they made it in with, you know, playing decent, but nothing there. And then I think Toronto-Columbus is your one standout, with Columbus sweeping Tampa last year, Toronto having John Tavares now on that team with Matthews and Marner and those guys. They have a lot riding on making the playoffs, especially after last year having a better record than they did this year. I mean, it should be top-heavy, Pittsburgh, Carolina, New York, Islanders, and then I would think Toronto. I think the West is where we could have some upsets. I mean, I think Wild could be Vancouver. I think Winnipeg could be Calgary. Chicago could beat Edmonton. I mean, we'll see what happens. And Arizona could beat Nashville. I mean, I think all of those are gimmies, but hey, I mean, Edmonton, technically, since the season has officially ended, Edmonton has the Art Ross Trophy leading scorer of the league now. And it isn't Connor McDavid. It's Leon Draisaitl, first guy from Germany to ever win a scoring title. So Draisaitl won it by a mountain, too. I mean, McDavid finished – I mean, Edmonton had the top two scorers. McDavid finished with 97. Draisaitl finished with 110.
Would you be mad if they did? I mean, obviously it counts for regular season like that, but would you be mad if because of this weird season, that if they combined the stats going into the playoffs, like you still track playoffs, but you still get the cumulative for the season?
I just don't think it's fair to do it, because then if Edmonton gets eliminated and Boston makes a run to the cup, well, Draisaitl could lose the scoring title and he didn't get a chance to play.
Yeah.
So that's okay. Where I guess I wouldn't say it. You know, I mean,
just curious.
Ovechkin, Pasternak, that's kind of interesting. They both tied with 48. Matthews at 47. So, I mean, you could, you know, I guess you share that. I wouldn't mind if they try to do something fun and fancy with those guys, maybe, but.
Yeah, that could be fun with the, you know, but here's the thing. It's like shared MVPs are okay. You know what I mean? Peyton and Steve McNair did it. And yeah, you know, it's I think it's also something special too. You know what I mean? Like there can be legitimate, you know, arguments for this to occur, but yeah, absolutely. I think
you give it to Ovi anyway. Like if I had to, because theoretically, let's look at this. I mean, Pasternak had a better season, 48 goals, just like Ovechkin. He had 47 assists to Ovechkin's 19. We all know Ovechkin has less options to pass to and stuff like that. So I get why he didn't have the assist. That's not his style. But Ovechkin played two less games than Pasternak.
So I
tend to think in those two games, knowing the scoring titles on the line, I think Ovechkin would bury one or two or five. If you want to give Ovi a chance to tie him. Now, here's what I wouldn't be necessarily opposed to for a situation like that. Boston and Washington both are playing in the play-in round that is adapting regular season style scoring and regular season overtime and shootout rules, where the other teams are in the playoffs. If you want to count Ovechkin and Pasternak stats to try to figure out who wins the Maurice Richard, I wouldn't hate that, because they're in. It's the same playing field.
Okay.
God, I'm looking at Draisaitl. 43 goals, fourth. He finished fourth this year in goals. Five less than Pasternak and Ovi. Four less than Austin Matthews. But then you go to the assist. He had 67 assists, led the league in assists, 110 points. I mean, he just and Connor McDavid played seven less games too.
Yeah, that is absolutely crazy when you think about that.
Holy crap!
Yeah, that's awesome. It's like you said, it's gonna be different. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fast, and it's gonna be really crazy. Again, you know, and as soon as you get into those overtime rules, man, I mean, that's when the game becomes really interesting too. You know, could you imagine one of these teams lose out on seeding in a shootout in the early portion?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, could you imagine that? God, that'd be interesting. Oh, God, wild. You know, like, no, you don't get to advance. Sorry. Oh. Like, I'm thinking of the possibilities on that, too. Like, it just kind of, but, Yeah, really interesting. Really, really fun. Really fun stuff. And yeah, that's the first. That's the morsel, right? Right now. And I'm sorry, you already gave dates. You gave places. Did you have a pick? If you had to pick one coming out right now.
I mean, I'm still going to ride Tampa. I still think they're the most complete team. Boston's going to be tough. I mean, St. Louis obviously is coming out. They want to defend their crown that they won in St. Louis. I mean, their record stands for itself. They had the second best record in the NHL. I mean, Boston, Tampa, St. Louis, I mean, all those teams are good. Colorado, a very good team with MacKinnon and Rantanen out there. But if I could ask for something, I want to see a Tampa Edmonton Stanley Cup. I think the action with all that talent of scoring out there would be just tremendous for people to watch.
Okay. Yeah. That's it really could be, and it really should be. It's playoff hockey, and it's going to be playoff hockey from the jump. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It'd be like, that's something that's different in its own little world, right? Right. So
that's what's great too is they're going to come out the gate and give you the best thing that they do.
No,
I mean it's like Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of Christmas, Christmas tends to be the big day for another sport. The NBA. The NBA is also trying to figure out their plans. Sounds like you don't have to be an MVP to go to Disney. What are you hearing? What are you liking? What are you not liking? Let's get into the NBA, man. I know you and I have some interesting thoughts on maybe how some of the playoff picture may potentially start the way this is currently looking.
At training camp, so ESPN's talking and the NBA saying that they will be the NBA is reopening June 1st. So June 15th would be the start of an actual training camp, another month training camp. July 15th would be the bubble start site games. Everybody's kind of hinging on to accommodate for training camp reasons and for, you know, a preseason style warm up. They would play up until 70 games. So 5 to 7 games, depending who they are. So they all can get the regional TV money. That way you also can get teams like Memphis and Portland and Sacramento, who still have it at San Antonio, still opportunities. Washington, even though they're like 5 games out on the other side, but you know, you give those teams an opportunity to come back and make the playoffs. Damian Lillard's been very vocal about it, especially getting some of the players back on his team that were injured. You know, he said, we fought our way back into this predicament of making the playoffs. We should be given a chance to try to make the playoffs. Lillard wants to play in tournaments.
And one of the interesting things that I've read would be, in the East, they, you know, with the potential of the 16 seed tournament going in, there would be a separate four team playoff. However, the four teams would all be from the West. As if you look at the teams in the East, because of that 5.5 game lead, there's not much that's going to change in the East with the Wizards really controlling that 8 seed. The Magic rather. Whereas in the West, you know, you talk about that 3.5 seed over the Grizzlies.
Yeah, New Orleans, Portland, and Sacramento. San Antonio's 4 out.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, it'd be that those last four as far as that goes. You know, do you agree or disagree? Do you think the play-in is the route to go here with the top 16 versus the actual? Do you feel anybody's being wrongly put in or put out as far as this goes?
No, because, you know, if we're at the point where teams need to play about 5 games to get to the 70 games, when you have a 4-point out between those teams, you know, San Antonio should get it right. What if they go 5-0? And what if Memphis goes 0-5 and Portland, Phoenix, and Sacramento split the difference? San Antonio deserves to make it in.
Yeah.
You know, now if you want to do Memphis, Portland, what I think would be cool is take Memphis, Portland, New Orleans, and Sacramento and do that NHL round robin style and just have that team get in and get the last spot. And the way you could do it is you figure you have to play 3 teams. So Memphis plays Portland, New Orleans, Sacramento, vice versa. have them play a couple games. When they get to game 68, that's when you'd play one of those three teams. So your games to get to 70 would be those. It doesn't contradict with getting to 70 games, and you give everyone a chance where they get to play for their spot.
Yep.
Now, obviously, Portland. East,
though, in the one that I was talking about, they're shutting down the East. How's everyone getting to 70? I don't get that.
Oh, I think they would still just play games.
But like I said, then you got that again. You got that weird. I don't. It is definitely a weird thing. I'm curious, and you know, with guys like Lillard, who is a tier one talent as far as that goes. God, that's really interesting. I don't know how contentious that's going to get.
Here's the one thing they're looking at is. They're not necessarily talking about doing the 1 through 16. They're still talking about doing 8 and 8. I mean, the whole reason the 1 through 16 was proposed is the reason that they don't do a 1 through 16, they do an 8 and 8 is to cut travel.
Yeah.
You don't have to cut travel, so you could just randomly do this for this one anomaly of a season. But it's by no means at all set in stone. And if you don't have that set in stone, well, then you need to have those teams there.
Yep.
Because Detroit, New York, and Chicago, and Charlotte, and Washington should get their shot to come in.
Now with that, like, again, and I agree as far as that goes, but then, you know, if you're that's at the same time, like, I just look at it. I mean, that means you gotta really kick ass if you're gonna be a team like Washington or the Hornets to really try and get in there. I mean. And even then, like, the Hornets were, like, in their own division, they were 2-7. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, they're not going to win.
Nobody was on a crazy streak. Everyone, you know what I mean? Like, the best
streak
in the
East is the
Raptors. But all these
players know, you need this TV money to come in for the fact of contracts to get paid, you know, things like that. Like, they understand it's a business. And a lot of these players just want to get out and play again. Which is where part of it is too. And maybe they don't go that route. I don't know. And that, you know, time will tell. There was that call I mentioned. There's players tweeting about Spencer Dinwiddie tweeted after Mark. He tweeted at Mark Stein after Mark Stein said many around the league have been buzzing about the same rough time frame describing this tweet. Practices that would launch 1 month from now with an NBA season resumption date in July. In the July 15th range. And that was, he was quoting Spencer Dinwiddie, who said, that's just practice. I heard those last five games at bubble site start July 15th. So, I mean, the players are all hearing this too. Bucks owner Mark Lazarus says about the NBA and CNBC on the next 6 to 8 weeks, we should be playing. So it sounds like everything is ready to go. There had been talks about splitting it in half and doing the West in Vegas and the East in Orlando to just be able to have the games go quicker so they could try to get the season done for the next year. But I think it's getting to the part with Orlando. It doesn't matter if you're all in the same thing. When you watch the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs and vice versa, you know, there's eight playoffs turn around, you know, there's eight first round matchups, you know, with the 16 teams. Four play on one day and four play the next day anyway. So they're always playing every other. So it really doesn't matter where the, you know, what they're doing. You could have it in the same place and it wouldn't matter.
Now, yeah, that is really, I mean, that is the site thing doesn't bother me as much as far as it goes. Yeah, it does make it easier. The East West thing, but at the same time, I guess it's one of those things like if you're going to go East West, like, East, you might as well jump in the playoffs because, again, outside of the money thing, there's no – like, here's the thing is you bring these – let's say you bring a game back for this is going to go back to one of our things when you brought up the Nets. Let's say you come back and you start to play these games, and obviously the Hornets are somebody blows out a knee, you know, and now you're out starting next season because, hey, this team was already eliminated by and large, but now we're playing, you know, past the normal expiration date of the season, past this for other teams benefit by and large. What would something like that, how would something like those opportunities maybe?
You can't avoid injury. It's going to happen no matter what. Like, I thought about that more, and it's like, it doesn't matter when you play the games. I mean, look at all the people in NFL preseason that could hurt for the whole year. Look at Gordon Hayward a couple of years ago, the first play
game
of a regular season game. You know, Kobe at the end of a season. It's Durant and Klay Thompson's in the NBA Finals when they're the most conditioned they could possibly be. So, I mean, it doesn't matter, I think. It just, if you're playing, there's always a chance something can happen.
Yeah,
you know,
but I mean, that's the thing is, if you don't need to play, like I said, I'm looking at the team, like particularly the teams in the East, okay? If you don't need to, like, I'm advocating at this point, I like the top 16 idea. I like the play-in idea for the teams in the West. I think everyone else just go fishing, as Charles Barkley and the boys like to say.
Yeah, and like on TNT, Charles Barkley was saying that TNT told him that he's going to be working July, August, and September this year instead of having that 3 month break, and he'll have his mini break like a month or two after September, potentially October, November, but because they've already essentially been on break anyway, they said just be ready to work. John Ireland was talking about they're trying to figure out if he's going to go to Walt Disney to call the Laker games, if he's going to do it from his house, if he's going to do it from the Spectrum Sports Studio in El Segundo. So everybody's starting to figure everything out. Like, it's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
And I think the NBA is just waiting for that June 1st date to really announce things. I'm expecting next week we could hear an announcement from all three leagues. Like, I truly think this time next week, you know, depending, you know, if Sportscast is running, we may be talking about all of it already starting, like everything in place to start. Because everybody knows they got to get rolling on this. And part of the thing, too, is if I'm a guy like, you know, we brought up Kevin Durant, I damn sure want to play. They were saying that even before anything changed, you know, say there was no COVID, he was still talking about coming back in April and playing like the last remaining four regular season games, and then playing in the playoffs because he was healthy.
And, you know, that's the thing is, I heard that was, I heard his agent say, you know, he's not playing at all this year. You know what I mean? Like that's one thing that definitely came out, and his agent, obviously, I think that's, I never know who floats these ideas out. If it's maybe a Kevin Durant burner account, which he's known to have, or
I believe,
you know,
the agent. I mean, Woj said it too. But I think what changed the whole game was the fact that he's seeded against LeBron and the Lakers.
Yeah.
These players play for competition. And the fact that Kyrie, who has a history with LeBron, and Durant, who's always going to be, you know, he's always going to be the guy who can't be the best in the league because LeBron's playing. Those guys got a chip on their shoulder against that team. And I can tell you flat out that, I mean, and this is what Windhorse even said. He goes, look, the aspect of them being able to play the Lakers changes everything. He goes, I know they said they're not playing, and they very well might not play, but don't sit there and look shocked when those guys are suited for game one against the Lakers in the playoffs, because that's what these guys play for. And if you're Durant and Kyrie, you took a chance and went out to Brooklyn together to play together. You go in and you beat that powerhouse of the Lakers. Now you suddenly are going into this playoff team where you're that 15 seed that everybody is scared to death of, that you could win it all.
Yeah. And that's intriguing. But at the same time, you know, again, and not to poo-poo your ideas, like, yes, it's great for TV, but, you know, what about a situation like Boogie, who came back from an injury, came back in the playoffs, and then boom.
Yeah, but you know, Kevin Durant is a much more – he's a different build. He's a different work ethic. He's a different everything. You know, Boogie came back overweight. He didn't look comfortable on the court when he was playing in the playoffs. I mean, he just looked awkward.
Yeah, you know, I could see that.
He had a freak thing where he knocked knees with somebody. Like, that doesn't – you can't control, like, that doesn't, that's not your body breaking down if you smack into somebody and injure yourself. I mean, you got to look at that too. It's more than just, you know, he wasn't doing knuckle pushups like Kevin Love, and he broke his wrist or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
oh man,
you knock knees, your leg bends. There's nothing you can do about that. You know, Kevin Durant went straight into rehab with the intentions of playing. I mean, Brooklyn signed him with the thought that they might have a shot with him this year. And I think when everything was said and done and they were kind of wrapping it up and not knowing, that's when I think the whole Durant saying, I'm just going to take the year off. I agree with Windhorse, man. Until it happens, these guys are driven on these kind of things. And holy shit, man, this would be the highest rated first round playoff series in the history of the NBA.
Oh, that'd be wild. And again, especially being able to possibly being the first one to come out of this, like, yeah, this, the NBA is certainly looking at a lot of good money, as far as this goes.
And you put it prime time on ABC, like, holy God. Like,
everybody's got it.
Yeah, that's the one where I go, Jordan, it's time for you to come out of your house. I have a love seat waiting for you. We're watching this game.
Are we sitting on the love seat together? I guess that's my question. Or is it actually?
Look, I'm comfortable. It's all on you, baby.
No, absolutely, and again, there's still a lot of moving pieces. I do like that 16 seed a lot better, as far as, again, the entertainment value, the big picture. I like it. I think it makes the most intriguing options, and it's also a great test for the, obviously, something that they've been trying to put in, or there's been discussion of getting put in over the last couple of years. So I'm for that one. I'm also for the East taking a hike this year.
East would be six of the bottom eight seeds.
Yeah, so I mean, you know what I mean? Like, everyone's going fishing, and that, I guess that's where, and that's why I'm okay with it, because then it becomes a Western Conference, or it just becomes an NBA championship, and you get to see the Western Conference, the best of the best of the best of the best meet, and I think that's the most important.
Now, if you did truly play for that play-in style, Sacramento or, you know, San Antonio in Memphis are four games apart for that. For the 14th seed, Brooklyn and Orlando are only 2 and 2.5 above San Antonio.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I mean, you could theoretically, if you really wanted to do it, you could take Dallas, Memphis, Brooklyn, or Orlando, Portland, New Orleans, Sacramento, and San Antonio, and do an 8-team play-in. I don't think it's fair for Dallas, who's 40-27, but I just, you know, you want to try to get New Orleans in there because of Zion, or you want to get some more Zion games out. So, like, that's why, and you got to do it. And you want Portland to have a shot because you want Lillard in there. But what do you think of this? If they run that route, there's a chance the finals could be Lakers-Clippers.
That'd be wild.
Because the Lakers and Raptors would be on one side of the bracket, and then Bucks and Clippers would be on the other side.
Wow. That's pretty impressive. I mean, that's tough. Like, but, and then that's where, you know, the neutral site becomes a question, right? Because doesn't, and God forbid, okay, but the Subway Series has always been great. You know what I mean? It's always something people always talk about, you know, when the Mets play the Yankees. Dude, the Staples Center would be nuts every game.
Yeah.
Every game.
Yeah, I mean, you could just run it. And L.A., I mean, they officially started opening everything up. So, you know, they're one of the last to really get going before. But now they're all going. And, you know, as of Monday, I mean, they're opening hair salons the whole nine yards out there. God, I need a haircut.
It'll come. We'll take our time.
I hope I can sneak in there and everyone's like, "Ooh, I don't want to go get my hair cut." I'll be the first one knocking on that door going, "Hello, I'm cool." Mick.
Looking at the cut me, Mick. So we briefly kind of mentioned baseball kind of in passing here, and I was just reading Scherzer. Scherzer's not another guy that's on the no bandwagon on this pay cut situation we were talking about, without mentioning he who shall not be named, because it is a sticking point. I did pull up the financial numbers that were looking at the salary cuts, courtesy of Jeff Passan, and he said essentially what the original salary cuts would have been, you know, obviously prorated.
Yeah.
For you get paid for what the games you were doing. And they gave some really interesting examples in how that would work, right? If you work a half a season, well, your salary should roughly get cut in half, right?
Mm-hmm.
So instead, one of the full prorated value of somebody making $35 million would be, 17.7 for an 82 game season. Not bad. However, the proposal, and a guy who's making what league minimum million, you'd get 285K. You know what I mean? His salary would actually drop the least in regards to this, going down to 262. But a guy who is making that top tier bracket, magically their $35 million contract goes down to a 17.7 for the jobs done. But they want him to get paid $7.84 million. So they want them to take roughly an 80% pay cut.
Well, I know they had talked about having like the highest paid players taking more of a cut, so the lowest paid players didn't have to take as big of a cut since they don't make as much.
Yeah.
I don't know how that gets over. I like they're talking June 15th training camp or spring training, with 4th of July or July 11th would be the start. I still am like 90-10, 85-15, not even an 80-20, but higher than that, that this is going to get figured out. If this is about money being the only thing that's stopping the season from happening, I just feel like eventually it's going to get to the point where you're going to get somebody who's smart on one end and somebody who's smart on the other end, and they're going to get them in a room and the two of them are going to figure it out. Because both the players and owners know how much is at stake by not doing the season. It's going to be an awful look, and I think both sides know it. And think of how big of a hit MLB took after that 1994 strike. I mean, it took a while to get back to people actually giving them the time of day. I don't think they want to risk that again.
Yeah, it's intriguing, but at the same time, I think – and this is bigger, big picture kind of thing here. It's how many people are going to run out to these games afterwards? You know what I mean? I know you are. I know you're confident. You're a healthy young guy. You know what I mean? But baseball is also an old timer sport. You know what I mean? Like it's a different kind of arena for these people. I'm curious how many people are going to go back next year. Let's say again, short of the actual vaccine being done, baseball is going to feel this regardless of which. I think it behooves them to figure out what talent they're going to be able to have. Otherwise, we might be looking at the XLB next year. I don't know, man.
They got to base off of, by running, they're going to have great TV ratings. By great TV ratings, you can advertise more. I think the one thing that not a lot of people are talking about that MLB does have on their side, obviously, you can't fill capacity. In Japan, they have really good ideas where, they're going to be able to starting next month, 50% up to 5,000 people. And then in August, it'll be 50% of the building's capacity. So, Japan is doing a really good job. Japan doesn't have they didn't have an order. It's just their people are respectful. People stayed 6 feet apart. People didn't go into a Family Mart or Lawson's or whatever until the next person left. They did everything correctly because people are respectful. In America, people are just, America, yeah, bitch, and they're stupid about the stuff. So that's what I think is slowing us down. But MLB has that positive where they're an outdoor stadium for the most part, and you're not confined in a building. And I know that's not necessarily something that truly makes it easier or makes it where – it's easier to do, but I just think that helps a little bit with maybe people being a little easier on edge because they are in an outdoor setting. So you are, you know what I'm trying to go with it?
Yeah. No, I get
like there's ventilation and shit like that.
It's just like the restaurants are opening outdoors here first before they're
doing
indoors, etc.
That's a better way than I was doing it.
And sounds crazy as far as baseball goes, but even if they get that opportunity, how many places are going to sell, slap an MLB logo on a mask because you can wear it at the game?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, make some, they already are. You go on Fanatics. I was thinking about buying one for work. They got Dodgers and Lakers ones on there.
Oh, that's interesting. The Titan one would be cool with the blue and the, oh man, that's nice. Okay, I'm going to have to look at that. Again, it's something where I want them all to happen. Ultimately, at the end of the day, man, I want everyone to be happy. And I think, you know, given some of the greater talks and things that are going on in the world today, man, we could use some happiness. Everyone could use some happiness. And that's, I want to keep it as simple as possible for that right now. So speaking of baseball, I know you like three strikes.
Yes, I do.
You do like three strikes. I want to make things difficult for your three strikes.
Okay.
You gotta go 2 for 3 for me. That's all you gotta do.
Ooh,
okay.
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna give you an American League and a National League, and I'm gonna let you choose. But are you familiar with immaculate innings?
I am not.
An immaculate inning is a pitcher who threw exactly 9 pitches in an inning, and all 9 were strikes.
Okay.
Okay? It doesn't matter. You know? That's a good thing, right?
Yep.
That's pretty dang special. So, I'm going to give you the pitcher. I'm going to give you the opponent. I'm going to give you the inning. So, I'm going to give you 3 bits of information.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if you can give me two of the batters that were dispatched by said pitcher.
Oh, God.
It's a tough one. I'm going tough on you. All right? We've given you softballs with hockey questions before.
So I get the pitcher, the inning,
the pitcher,
and the year, and the team?
The pitcher and the team.
I don't get the year or
you
the
get the
inning.
Year also. You get the year.
Okay.
You get the year, the pitcher, the opposing team, so who the batters, the team of the batters, and the inning that it occurred in. So at least
okay.
That way you know maybe it's the front of the lineup, back of the lineup. You know, things can get dicey sometimes with long innings, but again, it's a 9-pitch inning. It actually shouldn't get dicey at all.
Yeah. Okay. Let's roll.
All right. Do you want to go American League or do you want to go National League?
Oh, God. Let's go National.
All right, National League. This one, I had a couple options for the National League, and let's see, where did he go? Where did it go? Oh, here we go. Where the hell does this go? Oh no, I did it wrong. I'm sorry. I'm a terrible person. I'm sorry. I broke it, bro. Because I was going to say, I was going to give you your boy for the National League. And I was going to give you Kenley Jansen.
Okay.
All right. But unfortunately, he's the Dodgers. So I now I'm going to have trouble figuring out what team. I blew this one. It got hard for me even.
Sportscast Radio is sponsored by some shit that went out tonight.
All right. Hold on. I think I got this. All right. So if I hit this button here, hit that button. I just got to match up the year. I'm smarter than that. Give me a second. I'll hit the. Still alive. We have Kenley Jansen. Okay. He did it in 2017.
Okay.
And the team that he did it against would have been the Marlins.
Oh, God.
And that's where it gets interesting, right? So you got 3 strikes, 3 batters. All you got to get is 2, though, okay?
Okay.
So against the Marlins, and let's see, 2017, and he did it in the 9th inning.
Is Giancarlo Stanton one?
No. No.
Oh, God. I think that's the only Marlin I know. Um, shit. Boy, I can't tell you any Marlins players in 2017.
It wasn't a bad little set of nine pitches here. Derek Dietrich.
Yeah, once I got that.
And Ichiro Suzuki.
Once I got that.
Yeah,
what's the American League one?
All right, American League. We're gonna go to my graduating year.
Oh God! What, 2002?
2002. The pitcher is Pedro Martinez of the Red Sox.
Okay.
All right. So Pedro Martinez, it's against the Mariners, and it happened in the first inning.
Oh wow!
You want to talk about starting a game off hot? Hall of Fame, Pedro Martinez.
Is Ichiro Suzuki one?
You nailed one.
Okay. Is Robinson Cano one?
You were incorrect on that one.
Shiznits.
Both these names are pretty damn good. When I think about that '02 Mariners squad, they were not bad actually.
Well, I feel like Griffey's too obvious. That's why I don't want to say Griffey. Because I thought he was in the Reds by then. I don't think it was Jay Buhner. I think that was still 90s. Was A-Rod one of them?
A-Rod was not one of them. That's your second strike.
Damn. Oh, man. A-Rod. He went to Texas for Cano, I thought. Oh, I can't remember. I keep wanting to think Alfonso Soriano, but I don't think he was. He got traded for A-Rod, but I thought it was he got traded the Yankees to the Rangers. Was that one? Boy,
yeah.
I don't know. David Segui, I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's all right. This is a really tough one, and I knew I wasn't giving you an easy one, but I really like the premise of it with the three strikes gimmick. So Ichiro Suzuki was the first batter they knocked out. Mark McLemore. And then one Ruben Sierra, bro. 2002.
Oh, that's
Ruben
tight,
Sierra.
Ruben Sierra.
Yeah, that's a you want to talk about going nine pitches on a team and sending them up and down, bro. Woof. There's actually a pretty good and I can start like looking at some of them and know like this Indians one is crazy. The Orioles in 99, BJ Ryan struck out Manny Ramirez, Jim Thome, and Richie Sexton.
That's a solid 1-2-3.
Yeah, yeah.
Knocked down a side with.
You want to talk about maybe some old rivals here? This was another one where I was really going to maybe make you think about this one. Roger Clemens is a Blue Jay, 1997, and his opponents were the Boston Red Sox.
Say that one more time.
Roger Clemens is the pitcher.
Okay.
So he's pitching for the Blue Jays. His opponents are the Red Sox.
Okay.
1997. And this happened in the top of the first. Or not top of the first, but the first inning.
Was it like, no, they didn't have him back then. I can't even think of, I don't know why I'm drawing a blank on baseball players.
That's okay. This would be like this is another murderer's row right here, man. Nomar Garciaparra, he was all right. One John Valentin. And then a big hitter by the name of Mo Vaughn.
Mo Vaughn, yeah.
Like
Nomar's not working for Spectrum with the Dodgers and their and their TV.
Does he do a good? Does he do a good call?
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's one of their analysts in the like the pregame stuff.
Oh, in the studio. Okay.
Yeah, because I thought he retired with the Dodgers. So.
I think he did. Which is
Dodgers or Cubs, but I thought it was the Dodgers.
He's one of those weird ones too, where like for some reason I only think of him as a Red Sox. You know what I mean?
Wow, he actually played 1 year after the Dodgers.
Really?
Do you know what team it was?
No. Hold on, wait. I want to say like the Rays or something like that.
The Oakland Athletics.
Oh, I meant to say the A's. The A's is what I meant to say.
It says, Garcia Parra signed a one-year deal with the Athletics with the acquisition of Matt Holliday from Colorado in the offseason. Nomar was not granted his accustomed number 5, instead wearing number 1. Immediately after Holliday's trade to the Cardinals, Eric Patterson was called up and given the number 5. Garcia Parra and Patterson subsequently switched numbers. In his final season, Garcia Parra batted .281 with 3 homers and 16 RBIs in 65 games.
He had some injuries there as far as that goes, didn't he?
Yeah, by that point.
Yeah, that was rough. Yeah, it's really weird. I mean, obviously, again, I think about his heyday in Boston, his prime year, you know, 22 to 29 there, and that was that dude was awesome. Made me angry, but you were either
minority
a Parra guy or a Zeitz guy.
Minority investor in the LAFC as well.
Interesting. LAFC, huh?
Yeah, they're like, oh, as a new MLS team, what are the rules? You get one foreign player. Oh, cool. We're just going to buy Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Oh, cool. We're going to go to the championship in our first year or win it in their first year. Oh, cool. Ibra got like 35 goals.
didn't he slap somebody in the back too? If I remember right,
probably.
Bite somebody.
It looks like MLS is getting ready to start rolling again too now. So that'll be nice.
I saw one of the Germany clubs was in Munich piping in sound. What do you think about that aspect of it for these games? I know you and I talked about it. I want to hear basketball and hockey without fans. I really do. You know what I mean? Like I want to hear the chirping. I want to hear. You know, I want to hear every little bit of it.
I think it's gonna be cool. Like, I don't think it's going to be as bad as people think. And part of it is because I've just seen, you know, I've seen other things obviously work just fine.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, do you think, would you rather the pipe it in, not pipe it in? What would you prefer?
No, I don't want it piped in.
Yeah. I think baseball, I wouldn't be mad at them piping in. Baseball kind of needs a dull peanuts popcorn guy in the background.
All you got to do is just put mics by the dugout.
And that's the thing is I'm curious, like, but you know, I don't know, dugout. I think mics by the dugout, isn't that where? No, it's cameras in the dugout that got things in trouble for Houston, right?
Yeah. I just want to hear. I want to randomly hear when Boog Shambi's like, you know, here comes Kershaw in the lineup, and you hear somebody like, that dude's a bitch. And, you know, random things like that come out of the dugout.
Yeah. And that's the thing.
The Dodgers pitch to the Astros, you get to hear somebody in the background. I hope he beans his ass.
What is that? Do they got Steve Austin on the bench?
That or I was thinking of Mankind. You know, Uncle Paul.
I hope he beans that son of a...
Yeah. He drops that son of a bitch on his neck. Okay, I'll do it.
Stack of dimes.
Shout out to Carlos Correa, who I hope goes through with this. He apparently wants to become a fighter after this. Did you see this? I hope to God he does it.
Who would you like to see him go against?
Oh, I mean, me? I'll take up fighting. I'll beat his ass myself.
Carl Froch would be proud. Does that mean you get to call out Carl Froch after it's all said and done?
Hell yeah!
Get
like,
your belly out.
MMA or what?
Yeah, he said, get your belly out there.
Astros, Carlos Correa interested in a UFC fight.
Put him up against Greg Hardy.
Oh, Greg Hardy. I put him in there with Francis Ngannou.
Oh, God. How big is Carlos Correa?
Big enough to cheat. Like, if it was up to me, let's see, he's 6'4", 218.
That's a heavyweight, man.
Let's go. You know who I want. If he's a heavyweight and he's getting real brolic and froggy, why don't you step in there with the bomb squad?
God, he's not gonna box. Oh, speaking of combat sports, actually, great segue. Actually, interestingly enough, I believe they've already top ranks gotten some approvals and.
Vegas.
For Vegas in June. So we're going to have some boxing events.
Sure, Stevenson is fighting.
Yeah. So, you know, gonna have some boxing events come up there, and it sounds like it's gonna be a plan, which is perfectly fine with me. I'm all about seeing some more combat fights. Again, with that empty arena stuff, man, I love being able to hear the corners. I love being able to hear every punch. I'm cool with it. Bring it on.
Yeah, the UFC was great. UFC's got a show on Saturday, too, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, I really, really was enjoying that a lot, too. It was just different. Again, you get to hear it. Kind of felt like the kumite, the silence, you know, when Van Damme's handling business in there against,
to be fair, it did like 700,000 buys.
Yeah.
And once again, it all goes, you know, UFC 250 will be in Vegas as well. That's June 6th. That's next Saturday, or, you know, 10 days from now. Amanda Nunes and Felicia Spencer is the headliner on the show. You know, I think the UFC really set the tone when they proved that even with somebody testing positive for COVID, they are still able to go about it in a safe way, because of now that we're able to have, you know, such instant testing finally. You know, obviously that's why everyone's in Jacksonville, because Jacksonville has all these, for some, I don't know, maybe it got developed in Jacksonville. That's why they have so many of these, hey, we get instant test type things. You know, that's why I think everybody, I think UFC essentially started the whole wave. I mean, I think the KBO showed that it could work, but I think UFC immediately were the guinea pig that prevailed when somebody did test positive, and then they were still able to go on with the show without anybody else coming down for it because of safety precautions. And I think that's where UFC doesn't get enough credit, is they to me are part of the reason that we should be getting sports back in the next month or two.
Yeah, should be interesting. That UFC card doesn't look too terrible either.
Asunio, the semi-main, Sean O'Malley, who's a big up-and-comers, fight Eddie Wineland. Neil Magny's on the show.
Nice. Yeah, that should be
Bruce
really good.
Leroy is the main event of the prelims. Alex Caceres. I always like watching him. Gerald Meeschart, he's pretty good. He's going to be on there. Charles Byrd. There's some good stuff on here. I'm excited. I'm going to get home.
There's a card this weekend too, isn't it?
Yes, Tyrone Woodley is fighting.
Yeah, that should be a good one too. Mm-hmm. I got to be honest, man. Again, given the time here, and again, I know I'm terrible at UFC and MMA stuff, but like Billy Quarantillo, kind of, you know, a little too close to Quarantino for me, man. Like I think that's kind of a funny when I go there.
He's Spike Carlisle might have something to say against him in that prelim fight for the main.
Yeah, yeah, that should be pretty darn interesting. Yeah, that's got a deep card too, as far as that goes. Yeah,
big hitter is a Belarusian dude, I believe. He's a big boy. He's in the semi-main event. You know, this should be a good potential win for Woodley to get back on the track too. Gilbert Burns, I mean, you know, nice up and coming fighter from Brazil. I think he's from Brazil. I might be wrong on these countries. I apologize. But
everyone in UFC knows Brazilian jiu-jitsu, man. That's just how it is. They're all trained.
Brazil.
No, we're not going Fast and Furious.
See, being smart and doing what these other companies in wrestling are doing, they have their own venue. They're just using it now.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't cost you money. You can control who's in and out. So I think it's awesome.
Other interesting news, boxing again. Devin Haney's still trying to make some headlines here, and apparently he was training with one guy who was like 50-0 at one point, one Floyd Mayweather. Does it kind of interest you that that Haney was training with Mayweather a little bit there instead of you know, his own protege, as far as that goes?
No, I guess not really. You know, I guess it depends where it goes. You know, he's going to need something going on here. Gervonta Davis, you know, obviously is a WBA regular lightweight champion. So it's not like Haney was taken away, you know, or training for a guy that is under Mayweather's camp. You know, I bet you Davis is probably there. I wouldn't be shocked if he wasn't too, you know, because both of these guys are probably trying to figure out how, you know, Teofimo Lopez and Lomo are talking fans or no fans in September. Winner of that's going to have three of the four. Davis has that regular interim behind Lomachenko if he ever got hurt, and Haney's got the other title. So if Lomo beats Lopez, which I'm sure he will, both those mothers are going to have to be ready because Lomo's coming for their heads.
Oh yeah, Lomo, and again the Lomo Lopez. I even heard Lopez because they're still trying to squeeze fights in. Like I heard, I can't remember where I read it, where it's like Lopez quote unquote sent a contract to Haney, but or an offer, but Haney says I haven't seen any of this this mystery contract that he's talking about here.
Yeah, the latest I've seen, Bob Arum said, in talking with Lomachenko and Lopez, neither of them want an interim fight, so we would plan to do them in September with or without an audience.
Interesting.
Lomachenko and Teofimo Lopez want to next fight each other in a high-stakes light heavyweight unification bout. I mean, well, you know, we'll see. You know, it could be Arum blow up smoke. We'll have to see how that goes. You know, Eddie Hearns backing up this year, he thinks that he's going to be able to put on a Dillian White Francis Ngannou fight.
What?
Yeah, that's something coming into play. Alex Acedo, Sonny Fredericks, June 30th on a Vegas show. I mean, we're starting to see a lot of things starting to materialize really quick.
What kind of fight for Francis Ngannou?
It'd be a boxing with Dillian White.
So because Dillian White could not get because he could not get Wilder, he's going to take a guy that throws just like him?
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
I mean that's how I'm looking at that. Like, yeah, he's not 6'7", but like, I don't know, man. Like, the guy throws punches. Last four KOs, man. Do you want to know the last four fights for Francis Ngannou, how long they've gone?
Well, he's probably been in the ring for less than a round.
Yeah. If you had to put it under 3 minutes, what do you think?
Under.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. 45 seconds against Curtis Blade, 26 against Velasquez, 1 minute, 11 seconds against Dan Dos Santos, and then obviously the Rosenstruck, 20 seconds.
So that's like 250.
Yeah, yes. So, again, that's just crazy as far as it goes. And then prior to that, again, just a great, you know, the Miocic is one, Derek Lewis, both lost in decisions, but still went the time on these fights. And then not only that, prior to that, again, just a string of knockouts by punches. Dude can bang, man. I don't know if Dillian White... I mean, I think that wild style is what he's looking for to try and get to appease that bit there. But again, Francis Ngannou being a Europe guy and Hearn also obviously, and Dillian White all being based out of Europe, I could see this fight happening and being entertaining, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
At the very least, a promo up to it would be interesting.
Yeah, and that's the one thing. Francis Ngannou, he's not like Conor where he's just throwing with his arms. Like, he puts his body into his punches. He's not gonna try to wrestle you down and work you at all angles with his kicks and stuff. You know, he's gonna come at you with ferocity. So that'd be interesting.
Yeah, no, that's
Jamal Herring said it looks like he's defending his WBO junior lightweight against Jonathan Oquendo July 2nd in Vegas.
Okay.
So it's starting to really get rolling here.
Yeah, it should be again. The combat sports definitely, you know, proven. I think there's gonna be a card in Flint, Michigan. Also, I think Salido is gonna be putting one on for a Clarissa Shields main event there.
Okay.
Might be empty fan also. So again, I am all for it. I think, again, the empty arena, it gives you such clarity. There's no distractions. There's no guy in a fan dropping in into the arena. I think I'm fine with it. I'm cool with it. The post-fight interviews are great. And again, I love the fact that they can hear their corner or they can hear the commentary going. The commentary was a little interesting. Again, the fact that DC, hooked up our guy there and gave him the answer. But, man, you know what I mean? But again, it's one of those things where if you're a person that can multitask like that, hey, more power to you. Cause Hardy won that match. And that was awesome.
What else you got?
You got anything for me?
The talk too here, I'm digging more into it here while you're talking.
Cool.
Eddie Hearn has said he's planning to reach out to UFC boss Dana White about a potential cross-discipline clash between boxer Dillian White and UFC star Francis Ngannou later this year. Responding to the question on Instagram live chat, Hearn says Ngannou was interested in taking on White in the ring. The only thing is, do we do it in the cage or do it in a ring, he said. Apparently Ngannou wants it in the ring. And this is where I'm kind of interested, and this is where I'm actually – this is the first time I'm going to actually give some kudos to Eddie Hearn. Kind of like how I praised, who's the damn NFL guy? Not Paul Tagliabue. What the hell is his name? I don't know. I can't think of the commissioner's name.
Goodell, Roger Goodell.
Roger Goodell, where I actually propped him for how well he did the draft and, you know, showing ass, if you will, and, you know, doing a good job to actually show he's a human being and not an idiot robot who just, nah, whatever, craft wants, craft gets type shit. Eddie Hearn says, I thought maybe me and Dana could put this night together where you've got a ring which also transform into a cage between matchups. So you've got crossover fights, but you've got an MMA fighter against a boxer in the ring. Then you've got a boxer fighting an MMA fighter in a cage. And basically correlating to put a big show together with the UFC. That's kind of cool and intriguing.
Is that, you know, it's, I know Clarissa Shields has talked about wanting to do a fight, and obviously she sparred with Cyborg before.
Yeah, that's a badass bitch. Excuse my language, but God.
Yeah, and
were you trying with Cyborg? Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's special, man. Two-time gold medalist.
And MMA, it was an awful movie. So I mean, unless you're going to have some Casamigos that want to laugh, I watched this MMA movie about a woman whose sister gets killed in MMA, and she like has, and it's like underground fighting, and she has to train to get to become a fighter to avenge her. And Misha Tate's like her coach and friend, and they get people like that. And like, Holly Holmes in it as somebody, but the evil boss chick that kills her sister is Cyborg.
Oh,
like who are we casting? Cyborg. Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, you that's know, funny. Yeah, that's literally the Cyborg plot to Kickboxer, or not Kickboxer. That's literally the plot to Bloodsport, though.
Yeah, it no. Literally. Think of it. You're right, though.
No, it's Kickboxer. Kickboxer's yeah. Brother gets killed. It's Bloodsport where he has to go like represent the family because the son can't do it or something like that.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, so it's the thing of the same thing like that. And,
Tanaka,
but
look like Tanaka clan.
you know, and the Tong Po of the movie is Cyborg.
Oh, God.
Which is tremendous.
That's cool.
Well, yeah, I mean, you get her in there. I mean, I don't know who she fights.
Maybe the E gets involved, too, and we get Drew McIntyre versus Tyson Fury. I'm just saying, at this point, man, I mean, it's really getting thick around here with a lot of these crossovers. You got Tyson in the AEW ring tonight.
I got 20 minutes left in AEW still, so don't tell me about that.
Okay, I won't go into the details, but again, you know, you got a lot of weird crossovers happening right now, and I don't know, like, I don't know what's going on anymore, man. What's up? What's down?
If you crossover with the WWE guys, McIntyre's getting his ass beat. and I don't mean that as like a knock on McIntyre, but if you're going to do a crossover with like Tyson Fury against somebody, you know, you gotta look at like somebody who's like a legit badass. I'm not saying McIntyre's not, that guy could probably kick my ass, you know what I mean? Like I'll never deny that, but I mean, does WWE even have any tough guys anymore? I mean, I guess Nia Jax is pretty stiff.
Man,
Andrew Kyrie's taking a hit on Raw. She split her head open.
Oh, jeez.
Dijak blows. Dijak is so charismatic that she's able to convey happiness, sadness, anger, and confidence without even making a facial structure move. Because she's not like most girls with her charisma. Look, tell me what face I'm making right now.
The one for radio.
Yeah, I'm just staring aimlessly. Well, that's how she shows her confidence. So
that's okay. That's okay. Other crossover, or not crossover, speaking of Fury, rather, and Dillian White wants Fury to not mess with Wilder's third fight and give him his shot. Fury saying no, he's going to knock out everybody as far as that goes. So he's going to fight Wilder. He's going to fight and try and go up with the rest of the plan to get him and Joshua to obviously meet. As long as Wilder doesn't throw a wrench in that third one, you know what?
I want to see a third one.
That's the thing, is that one is going to happen. That one's it's just a yeah. matter of when. But the question.
I just know Deontay Wilder can't wear no like 80-pound armor to the ring this time. Like, I'm not trying to make an excuse for him either, but I bet you, like, I don't think he expected that he was gonna be standing that thing for like an hour.
That was a stupid idea.
That's why shout out to Mike Tyson. He came around with a towel around his neck.
Heck yeah, the cut towel, man. Tyson knew, man. Tyson knew the deal, man. Cut towel. Like the shortest short, like high top, kept it simple, came out to, what did he come out to? Knock you out? Is that what he came out to?
He probably did. Look, to be fair, Deontay Wilder looks effing badass. I will not deny that. I mean, I remember how hard we popped, but when you can see him in the corner during the national anthem and he's starting to wobble back and forth after he mentioned it, I went back and rewatched it, and you could see he was a little uneasy just waiting. And I'm like, oh God, I bet you this dude's just sitting there like,
Tyson only came out to, like, it was like just an awkward note, like a horror note, if I recall. Right?
What?
It was just like a Godzilla note kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like,
what was Tyson's walkout music? Iron Mike was always intimidating even before his fights. Usually walked out to the sounds of Tupac songs, Road to Glory, Ambitions as a Rider, Let's Get It On, or Toss It Up.
Big Pac guy.
Road to Glory was a song dedicated to Mike Tyson too.
Interesting. Hold on. I think he came
Mike
out to
Tyson's
some
badass entrance that scared the living shit out of Sphinx.
I'm pulling that one up right now. It's just a clanging of chains and like just a long bass note, like a boom. Like, what is going on? That sight? Terrible. Mike Tyson, man, you know, he was, God, I still want to see him come back. Like, I know.
The mystery behind Mike Tyson's terrifying 1988 walkout music has been solved.
Oh, snap. I'm going to have to look that up. Oh, actually, no, here it is. Yeah. Tom Alonzo used a sampler, a drum sampler. Then he just looped it, a bunch of stuff. That's crazy. I'll give that a good listen, and maybe that'll be the next play that we do instead of Jimmy Cliff there. But
somebody said, can you imagine? It says has not fought for 97 days on the video they have, meaning Tyson hadn't fought in like just over 3 months. Now he's been fighting twice a year.
God,
you know, it
that's
goes
crazy.
back in the day, like, not to get too off topic, but part of the reason I always give De La Hoya credit is 1997, that dude defended his title 5 times in 1 year.
That's wild.
Like, that's awesome. Like, back, you know, they used to get down back in the day.
Yeah. That's wild. That is wild.
I have a 3 strikes top 10 and a Uber facts.
If you want
both or the other, or how you want to do this.
All right, Uber facts is my forte. So I want to be able to end on a high note. So let's do your 3 strikes and see if I can weather that storm, And then maybe I can try, if I suck that up, I'll try and end on my strength there with the Uber facts. How about that?
All right. So can you name for me in the last 10 NBA seasons, who was the leading jersey seller?
LeBron James has to be one when he went to the Lakers.
Okay. It's one.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
That is a strike.
Oh, what? How is? I mean, it doesn't surprise me at the same time.
Our last 10 seasons. So who led every year?
Oh God. Okay. Well, I figure Giannis this year, and then LeBron last year. But I guess those numbers. For
this year was LeBron. Last year.
This year was
not.
LeBron. Okay. Kawhi.
Which is surprising because it was his first year too.
Yeah.
Last year.
Yep. Because everyone's got 19 LeBron jerseys. That's what it is. You know, you got the Cleveland one. You got the OG Cleveland. You got the original, the new Cleveland. You got
the
playoffs.
I don't want that shit.
You got the Miami one. You got the McDonald's All Star jersey.
I don't want to get to LeBron.
All right. So, LeBron was one, right?
He was this season.
This season, okay. Kawhi Leonard.
So the previous 9 seasons. That is strike number 2.
What? Kawhi didn't get one. Holy cow. Okay, Curry's got to be one.
Yep.
Okay.
Now there is
gonna be one.
That is your third strike. Thanks for playing.
What?
Third strike.
Holy cow. What is going on with these people? You got to be kidding me. All right. So Curry's on there twice.
Yep.
LeBron's on there twice.
Yep.
Okay, so Curry and LeBron are on there twice. Kawhi's not on there. That's crazy. Jimmy Butler then?
Nope.
Wow. Who is this? Like, let's hear these people for the last 10 years.
Curry's on there 3 times.
Okay.
LeBron's on there 4 times.
Wow.
Carmelo Anthony?
Really?
That was 7 years ago.
Was that when the Knicks got him?
Yep. The year before that was Derrick Rose, his MVP year, I believe.
Okay. Yep, makes sense.
And Kobe Bryant 10 years ago.
That's wild. I'm a little perturbed. I thought there'd be a little more variance in the NBA.
I thought for sure after our NBA talk last week when I said Steph Curry has changed the game with all the youth by the 3-point shooting, that would be a sticking point going back to it. Well, Curry for the last umpteen years has changed how he's kids' favorite player now.
Yeah. That's crazy.
I feel better about your baseball one you gave me now.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm just surprised at the lack of like I gave you a tough one, right? You gave me an easy one, but I'm surprised by the lack of variance in it. You know what I mean? Like I feel like jersey topic.
Kawhi don't have no personality. Ain't nobody buying that.
Nobody won a championship, man. Like you know.
Yep.
I thought everyone in Canada would buy one after that. Like they were giving them plants on the damn bus. Like here, Kawhi, stay in Toronto. Like what is going on?
Yeah, but, I mean, you figure they played half the year in Toronto.
Yeah. More the reason. That's a new jersey right there, man. Like,
he's kind of a fun guy when you get to know him.
I mean, what is he, a mushroom? Like, get it, fun guy?
Yeah.
Get it?
Yeah, I get it.
I'm sorry.
Thanks. I have 4 facts for you. One of them obviously is an incorrect fact that I have altered, changed, or made up. Your job is to sniff out the fake fact. Are you ready?
Uber facts. The most unimportant things you'll never need to know.
Number 1. There are no recorded instances of a killer whale killing a human being in the wild. The only recorded orcas to ever cause death of a human were being held in captivity. 50% of those deaths occurred at SeaWorld. Penguins in Antarctica emit so much nitrous oxide, commonly known as laughing gas, in their poop. The scientists study them to get high. Or the scientists studying them get high. Get Number
high,
three.
Get high, get high.
Speaking to penguins, gay penguins have been known to steal eggs from straight penguin couples and raise the chicks as their own. They also leave stones in their place as decoys. And number four, sloths are the only mammal that cannot jump.
Dang, that's lit. All right, sloths is facts. All right. Those things are like, they move. All right. Sloths is facts. They move so, like, literally they grow moss while moving. Like, how slow do you have to be moving? Like, that moss is actually gathering on you. Like, I think, oddly enough, a sloth might be the one thing on the planet that that James Harden might actually be able to cover. But that aside, sloth is fact, so I don't got to worry about that.
You're moved at the speed of a I can't remember what that Fed survey said.
So the other one was penguins and nitrous oxide. I feel like that might be facts also. I feel like it's a shitty fact, pun intended. And then the other one was, what's the other non-penguin one?
The killer whales, SeaWorld.
I feel like that's a fact too. I think killer whales, they're gentle. They eat other things. They eat like kelp and fish. Like, it's okay. That one's facts. The nitrous is facts. The sloths is facts. And I'm going to say the gay penguin thing. I think like that just happens with single penguins also. I think that's a thing.
All right. So you were smart to stay away from the killer whale, not killing having no recorded human being killed in the wild. That is a complete fact that 50% of those deaths have occurred at SeaWorld. I'm just, you know, because things happen. They're big animal, you know, big species that things can happen. Also, you're smart to stay away from the penguins in Antarctica emit so much nitrous oxide. One, that is a complete fact. Scientists studying them get high because of the oxide that comes from their feces, which leaves us with two. You are very confident about sloths being the only mammal that cannot jump. Fortunately, you were too overconfident, as that is an incorrect fact. The correct fact is elephants are the only mammal that cannot jump.
Elephants are the only mammal that cannot. Man.
That one to be safe because that was my choosing to alter. So I had to do even more research to make sure there wasn't anything else.
All right, so I'm looking at answers.com, and
two in a row for me.
All right,
you're slumping going into the playoffs.
I'm looking at this. It says, "What is the only land mammal that can't jump?" It says the elephant can't jump, nor can rhinos, hippos, or sloths. And I count whales breaching, like that's a jump because whales can jump. Like, I know that, you know what I mean? Like, I, same thing with manatees. They got to get out of that water somehow. They get their gut out Carl Froch style. They know that. All right. So they can jump. What? I feel like I got robbed, man. I want to throw a flag on this one.
Unfortunately it's the final 2 minutes and you're not allowed to throw a challenge flag on the field.
that's just ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Right, I think we covered a good litany of sports today, man. I don't know what else you got. You got something else flying around?
No, I mean, we hit everything out the gate running. I mean, like I said, guys, you know, we're a week or two away from potentially knowing start dates of sports again, and it's going to be fantastic. I can't wait. We need it. We need it bad.
Yeah. I know making wrestling more fake than it really is, you do a little special something on Fridays. Why don't you plug that for us?
Yes, Friday night, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time on www.twitch.tv/WrestleCastRadio Pro Wrestling Summit. This is our seventh week this Friday, our 7th episode. So come check it out here. Card is still being written. I'm going to handle that tomorrow. Is now that all the champions are crowned, now I got to start getting some records in line and start figuring out who's beating who, because the nice thing about doing the summit, folks, as most of you have seen, is this is all random. I can book the match, but I do not know who's going to win. I'm calling it on the fly. So I'm going to keep this, you know, as real rankings with people beating people to get title shots. The only thing we do know is I believe I had mentioned we have a tag title match coming up here. This show, I have to just double check with it all, but June 5th. So 2 weeks out, that will be the Kazuchika Okada Walter heavyweight title match. So that is the only confirmed match over the next 2 weeks. We'll be getting this going. But, yeah, come check it out. We had record numbers last week. Every week it continues to improve. I just doubled my internet speed today. That kicks in Friday morning. So hopefully that hinders any lag issues that we were having. So I'm excited to get this rolling here. It's a good time, man.
Well, that's tight. I appreciate you joining me tonight. You can catch me at Jump a Clue Conclusion on Xbox Live, because that's where I spend most of my time during this quarantine. That being said, we out.